the Best of Times Radio Hour, live on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel, a show dedicated to seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. Here's your host, Gary Kaligas.
Good morning, radio listeners. I'm Gary Kaligas, the publisher of The Best of Times, the only magazine and radio show for mature adults in Northwest Louisiana. I do thank you for tuning in to our show today, and also thanking those who might be listening via the internet at www.710keel.com. Also thanking those who might be listening via the Keel application on their Apple or Android devices. In addition, I want to thank those who might be listening via the podcast, via our website at thebestoftimesnews.com of radio shows that have been previously broadcast or from Apple Podcasts. We do thank AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer for being the exclusive sponsors of this radio show to provide you with beneficial information each and every Saturday morning. In just a few minutes, we're to learn about the Accidental Piano Man, but now he hosts a radio show. And we're going to learn about some of his remarkable life stories and also his willingness to heavily promote music and musicians from Northwest Louisiana. So stay tuned to the show for some very interesting information. It is Saturday, June the 22nd, and we are broadcasting our show from the studios of News Radio 710 Keel, a Town Square media station here in wonderful Shreveport, Louisiana. However, today's show has been pre-recorded, so we will be unable to accept call-in questions and comments from our loyal radio listeners. Be sure to pick up the May-June issue of The Best of Times at one of our 270 distribution locations. We do appreciate hearing from you. Remember, if you're unable to find a printed copy of one of our distribution locations, you can always visit our website at www.thebestoftimesnews.com to view both current and past issues, as well as to listen to previously broadcast radio shows. In addition, you can view and download the 2024 Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory. Each and every month, The Best of Times sends out a newsletter via e-blast to over 73,000 email addresses of seniors and boomers who reside in Caddo and Bossier parishes. It provides them with a link to read our current issue, but also a link to read our Silver Pages. In addition, they are provided with additional information that's not found in our printed magazine. In addition, there are discounts and coupons, a contest, and lots of additional news about upcoming events and activities in our area. Join the many thousands who are receiving our free newsletter via their email. So the way you can subscribe free of charge is by going to our website, thebestoftimesnews.com, to enter your email address, and you'll start receiving each and every month the TBT newsletter. Great news, our friends at Ernest Orleans has brought back the Best of Times special dinner each and every Thursday from 4:30 p.m. to closing, with fabulous meals at highly discounted price, along with entertainment and free valet parking. It is highly recommended, due to the popularity of this Thursday night Best of Times special, to make advance reservations by calling 318-226-1325. Again, 318-226-1325. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Abears Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and Abears Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and I do thank you for taking time to listen to our show today. Joining me on my show as a special guest is Mr. Winston Hall, who is an award-winning musician, historian, and now we're going to call him world traveler. And yes. Also the author of his book, Ron Note Write, The Story of an Accidental Piano Man. And recently, he has now a radio show host, congratulations.
Thank you.
On Red River Radio, about music and musicians in Northwest Louisiana. And it's known as the Louisiana haywire, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So thank you, Winston, for joining us today, and welcome back to America.
It's always good to be here and to be on American soil.
That's
right. Just got back from the beautiful country of Greece that you know a lot about.
Oh, yes.
And it's going to be back, to get back to work, to hit the ground running.
Well, I'm sure you were working there. I want to compliment you and Donna about the amazing post that you placed on Facebook. I mean,
you
placed hundreds of pictures, and it made it, everybody that's one of your Facebook friends, I'm sure were thrilled. And there were a lot of comments, including myself, commented on many of them. So we're going to talk a little bit more about Greece after we talk about some of your other activities, which, by the way, everyone, he is the most talented but busiest man I've ever known. And, you know, I was talking to somebody about you recently, Winston, that, you know, he's doing so much and he's getting so well known in the area. He's probably going to run for mayor after Tom.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I will vote for you. I'll contribute to your campaign.
Okay. Well, that's one vote I got.
Oh, you'll get more than one. You'll get more than one vote. Yeah. So, again, you were on my show. It's been almost a year, April 15th of last year. We discussed your book and super interview. And by the way, if you haven't picked it up, it's still on Amazon, right?
Yes, it'll always be there.
And I know that you've had a lot of people review. You've had some good reviews, including myself. I give you a few reviews. It's a very good book, everyone. It's called Wrong Note Right, The Story of an Accidental Piano Man. And it's really, he shares life stories that you'll be fascinated by, and the opportunities open up when you never thought they might open up, right, Winston?
Yes. I think the thing that I tried to capture in that book as a musician and a piano entertainer is that, especially when you're young, you worry too much about trying to kick open doors. And as you grow and mature and live life a little, you understand that if you're just passionate about something and you do it religiously, that the doors open themselves, in a sense. You know, you don't have to worry too much about trying to open the doors. Just find something you love, chase it, do it, and you'll realize the doors are opening. You're not even looking at the door. Out of the corner of your eye, the door opens. Oh, there's a cool opportunity. So that's what I kind of tried to capture in my story when I wrote that, was
I think it gives hope to some musicians and others that are striving. Sometimes they feel like they're lost, but those doors are going to open up, and you're right.
Well, look, I know people that are in their 70s that start piano lessons in their 70s.
That's good.
And there has to be this inherent joy to the pursuit. Otherwise, you shouldn't even bother doing it. And so a lot of people say, you know, at 70, 75 years old, I've always wanted to play piano. And I say, do it.
That's
do
right.
it, you know, because it's a life lesson. The learning is the life lesson. You know, you don't have to worry too much about mastering it. Just do something you've never done and try to get better.
Well, that's what we tell seniors and boomers in their old age. Come up, get a musical instrument, a piano, play the organ, play the trumpet, play the guitar, and do something different. It's going to make you smile and enjoy it, too. You may not be the most accomplished pianist, but you'll be able to play something.
Challenge yourself.
And your kids and grandkids are going to be very impressed.
That's right.
When I play for mine, they're always amazed, and they always get the tingling when I put them on the piano bench.
Uh-huh.
Even the four-year-old just sits there and she joins with me occasionally. So it's really, really, really fun.
It's a good role model, too, you know, to see somebody continually strive to do new and exciting things.
Yeah, just like learning new sports, new games, et cetera. It challenges your mind, and especially at my age, at 74, it's good to get more challenges to keep the mind going, and don't want to get into dementia, et cetera. So you keep that brain just like you exercise your body.
That's exactly right. It's all tied together, truly.
So any further comments? You know, last time I was here, I said, boy, you know, this would be an interesting book to do a movie. Have you got any movie rights on that, babe?
No, I saw Curtis Jackson's coming to town, though.
Yeah, you should go. I would definitely bring it up to him. I think it's a great I could fathom, you know, you or somebody else being in it, the star. But it's got a lot of, fun, excitement, ups and downs. It's a real touching story. I think it'd be an easy movie script to design.
From your mouth to Hollywood's ears. Right?
Oh, well, hope he's listening. I would go by and see him. You never know where they pick up.
Well, that again, that's what I say about the doors opening, is if you worry too much about it, then, you know, there's a desperation to it. But, hey, you know, just keep doing your thing. and do it well, and people will notice. And so,
I can't remember the lady that was on my show. It's been, God, it's been so many years ago that she was a writer of short stories, and there were mainly stories about vampires, love stories, things like that. And she got found and ended up getting a contract with either HBO or some of that.
I believe
this was years ago. And she, I think four or five series that she from Shreveport, Louisiana. I can't remember her name right now, but she was on my show and told me that right after that she got found. It was by accident.
You know, I'll tell you a really, really quick, cool story like that. I had a friend in San Antonio, Texas, a sports psychologist named Dr. David Cook. And I was at his house years ago, and he told me he was working on a book about golf because he loved golf. And it was a tiny, tiny book. And I saw him typing away on it. He said, it's just this fun little golf book, you know. I said, oh, that's great. You know, good luck with that. And I forgot about it. And years later, I was walking through the movie theater at the boardwalk, and there's the movie poster, 7 Days in Utopia.
Whoa.
And it was the golf movie that Robert Duvall starred in. And this friend of mine, Dr. David Cook, it was his little book
that
he self-published and caught some traction. Years later, it was a Hollywood movie. And I watched him type it.
Wow.
So there's really there's some power in putting your story out there. And that's what I always tell people. That's why I wrote my story.
Right.
Was, you know, you just don't know. And it's your job to tell it. And then don't worry too much after that what happens. Right. So people want to check it out. Amazon.com. It's easy to find. Wrong Note Right.
That's right.
And you'll see my mug, my beautiful picture on there.
Your beautiful picture. That is true. That is true. But it is fair. I highly recommend it, everybody. It's a great read, easy read. You'll find it fascinating. And again, if you want to read the reviews, I mean, I didn't see any negative review on there.
So far, you always get a few eventually, but so far I haven't gotten any.
That was somebody that you didn't play the right song for them at their bar mitzvah or their party, right?
That's right.
So you continue to do so many things. Again, I'm amazed about your energy and so much more. You tell the listeners, you told us a few last year that you play almost at 20 venues a year, 20 nights.
We play, you know, I've been playing a long time, and it's a wide number. When I sat down the other day and tried to think about all the places I've played just in Shreveport-Bossier, and it kind of piles up after a while. Like you're driving down the street. Oh, I played there. Oh, I played there. I played there. And so some you play a few, some you play a lot. And so since the dust has settled from COVID, kind of getting back into the groove of things, still playing occasionally at Two Johns in Bossier City.
That's excellent. I can see you there.
Yep. And playing a lot of restaurants and bars. And so we're very grateful as musicians for the people that support live music. It's very important, and it changes the culture of your venue, truly.
True, it does.
When a live human, you know, a non-computerized or digitalized human provides music, it really brings life to a room. And so we're very grateful for all the venues. There's a bunch of venues here in town.
Well, that's good to hear that more and more venues are having live music rather than piped in
music. Yes.
That's good for you, good for our musicians, and good for when people come to visit our city. Most of the time when they visit other cities, they're looking for venues that have music, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So most of our fine restaurants and different clubs, et cetera, have live music as well. So
I should add that the musicians playing there are a lot of very, very talented people. A lot of my dear friends that are providing the music, and quality music, like really, really good musicians that are just doing their part to make a living and provide entertainment. And I'm always proud of them. You know, walk in a room and I see somebody I know playing music. Always glad to see them.
Good that you acknowledge them as well as they're, of course, they're acknowledging you as well. The other thing I wanted you to promote or tell our listeners, because I get news releases, et cetera, about this from our Shreveport and Bossier Convention and Tourist Bureau is you're a big promoter of tourism and music appreciation in our area. And you recently got an award, so tell our listeners about that.
I did get an award. You know, I when I set out years ago, and we covered this last time I talked with you, is that the music history of Shreveport-Bossier is really phenomenal. And you could kind of use all the flowery words to describe it, but when you look at the sheer punching power of the history. I mean, we've covered it all, but, you know, Elvis Presley and the Hayride and Lead Belly, and the Hayride alone covers a lot of really famous musicians. I started talking about that, and it correlates perfectly with tourism, because people come here, they come here to this city because of that music history. And I've always been striving to create more of an accommodating environment for those tourists. It's not where it needs to be, frankly. Like, we need more things. But I have partnered with the Tourist Bureau as a result of all my work, and because a lot of conventions come to town. And when the conventions come to town, we want to tell them about the music history. And so there was there was a very big convention, tour operator convention was in town. And that's the collection of people who collect people. Like, it was a very big deal. They were all in town. And so I partnered with the Tourist Bureau. David Bradley specifically is a good friend of mine. And we catered to all those people and showed them around, showed them a good time. And it was a very, very hectic week and weekend. Anyway, they acknowledged my participation in that. And that's something, don't expect awards. That's not why I do it. But it was fun just for a few minutes.
Well, but it's important that you and them emphasize that, because I've met tourists. I met some from Germany that came here specifically, going to Memphis, but they wanted to come to Shreveport.
Yep.
There were like 20 of them.
Yeah. So that's something that, because I wasn't born and raised in Shreveport. I came here later in life. But people that are born and raised here have got to understand. I really want people to understand this, that Shreveport is and can be a tourist attraction, a tourist city. And I've had people that have kind of questioned that. But I'm telling you, I just like you, have seen it personally. These people come from the other side of the planet, and they want to do the Elvis tour. And so they do Tupelo, and they do Memphis. And they come to Shreveport. And you'll catch them out front of the Municipal Auditorium. Every day there's a couple cars that stop there to take a picture with Elvis. Right. And so I want to reiterate to people born and raised here that Shreveport has an international attraction, and it really does. And it's not something I'm just making up. Like, we have numbers to back this up. There are tourists who come here who spend money here. My dream is that they spend more time here. Like, let's get them here. Let's get a music museum built already. Let's give them a reason to stay for 3 days. You know, spend two nights in a hotel, eat 6 or 9 meals. You know, let's give them a reason to stay and spend money here.
That is true.
We'll get to this in a minute, but like with Greece, the tourism is a well-oiled machine there. They know where their bread is buttered, and people come, like me and you soon, spend money, spend. So I've always framed this discussion as economic. Like, let's give them a reason to spend money here. They've already got the reason to come. Let's give them a reason to stay and a reason to spend money.
Okay. Well, I want to talk more about your idea of the music museum and promoting our area when we get back. But hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information. But now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears, Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. And now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears, Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kalikas, and I do thank you for taking time to listen to our show today. Joining me on my show is a special guest and friend, Mr. Winston Hall, who is an award-winning musician, historian, world traveler, author of a book, Ron Note Wright, The Story of an Accidental Piano Man, and recently a newly founded radio show host on Red River Radio about music and musicians in Northwest Louisiana, known as the Louisiana Haywire. So thank you, Winston, for joining us today.
Always good to be here.
So we were talking about your book. It's still available. It's a fantastic book, everyone. It's called Wrong Note Right, The Story of an Accidental Piano Man. It tells about his life stories, ups and downs and successes and failures, and how he's here today in Shreveport, Louisiana, which probably would have been You had never thought about that, right?
Never on the radar. And but, you know, again, that's the beauty of life, is that it comes out of left field, as they say.
Well, tell the listeners, because I thought it was an interesting story, how you ended up here.
I was actually up in Nashville, Tennessee, trying to be a songwriter. This is like 2007. And I didn't have a lot of direction. I was in Nashville trying to make a go of it. And I was working construction.
I didn't know that.
Construction,
I don't remember that.
I was working construction. And I had gone back to Texas for Christmas. And I ran into a buddy of mine from college. And he was kind of flashy. He looked flashy. And I was like, why are you so flashy? And he said, I'm working in the movie business now.
Yes.
And I said, movie business? I said, you in Los Angeles? He said, no, Shreveport, Louisiana. And I thought to myself, I didn't know they made movies in Shreveport. I thought it was some kind of joke, you know? He said, no, these are real deal Hollywood movies. And this was back when they were filming like 8, 9, 10 movies here, like crazy busy. My buddy Matt out in San Angelo, Texas. And I slid my phone number on wrote it on a napkin. Slid the napkin across the table to a coffee shop and said, well, if you think I could ever work in Shreveport, call me. And kind of forgot about it. And then a couple months later, I was standing in a ditch up in Nashville, literally holding a shovel, when he called. And he said, man, if you ever want to work in movies, now would be a good time to come, because movies turn over. They finish one, start another. He says, a lot of turnover right now if you want to come down and try your hand at movies. And I came here with a tank of gas and a dream. I mean, I had nothing. And I think the third day I was here, I landed a job on Mad Money, okay, Queen Latifah movie.
Yeah, yes.
As a production assistant, and I didn't know anything about making movies.
Wow.
And I told him that. I said, you know what? I'm breathing. I'm upright. I'll get here on time. Like, that's all I can tell you. And there was so much film work back then here that they were really just desperate for people that would show up and do a good job. And so I think, you know, life is about taking advantage of opportunities. And so that was an opportunity. Like, I knew I could work hard, and I knew I would get there on time.
And you could learn the job quickly.
And I could learn, yeah, I could learn.
You could learn from another producer there.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And so I showed up, and I mean, I made photocopies and fetched coffee. And it was like the first week I was in Shreveport, this is in the book, I literally ran into Tom Cruise. His wife at the time, Katie Holmes, was in that movie.
Right.
And Tom Cruise, of all people, was on Midway Street in Shreveport, Louisiana. And I went in the restroom at the production office, and I came out and physically collided with him. And I looked at the guy, and I'm so sorry, sir. I looked at him. I mean, I'm telling you, it could have been Sasquatch or a space alien. I would have been less shocked at who I ran into. Like, so life happens fast, right? Like, I was up in Nashville, broke, and within just a week and a half, I was physically bumping into Tom Cruise in Shreveport, Louisiana. So it was a very, very much a whirlwind, but I came for the movies and stayed for the music. That's what happened, because the movies was fun work, really interesting, met a lot of famous people, a lot of fun stories, but then the film work kind of moved on, went to other places. And so I reached a crossroads later. At that time, I was dating my future wife, Donna, and kind of looked at the city of Shreveport, and I said, well, what's my future? Where's my future? And I saw, from a musical standpoint, a really cool future in this town, because Nashville's a music town, but it's a rough music town. It's hard to make money.
A lot of competition.
A lot of competition. It's a what do they say, big fish, small pond, and Nashville's a big pond. So I looked at the market of Shreveport, and this is what's interesting for musicians, is it's a medium-sized market. If you combine Shreveport and Bossier, you know, 300,000-400,000 people, it's a good market for musicians. And so I saw that potential. And when the movies left and I kept playing, gosh, I was playing at one point. I remember one week I played 9 gigs.
Wow.
Now, if you're good at math, there's 7 days in a week. And so imagine a musician. I couldn't get any work in Nashville. And I come to Shreveport and I'm playing 7, 8, 9 gigs a week. I mean, I couldn't see straight. I was playing so much music. So anybody with brains would say, well, why would I leave this? Because if your goal as a musician is just to play and keep playing, then this is the place to do it. So it's been Shreveport's been very good to me as a musician.
And you also met your love of your life, Donna.
Donna, right? Yes. She was also on Mad Money. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. I thought you were both in the same production.
Yeah, we were in the same production. She was a costumer. And you got to get her in here one of these days to talk about her career. She had a fascinating film career. She was in New Orleans when they first started the film industry back in the day, and her uncle Joe Catalinato was kind of the godfather in the New Orleans film scene.
Oh, wow.
And so she's got a whole nother story, but she worked on two or three Academy Award winning movies.
Did not know that.
And one of her outfits that she owned, that she rented to the movie Monsters Ball with Halle Berry.
Mm-hmm.
Halle Berry won the Academy Award for that role, and she was wearing my wife's waitress costume.
Wow.
And it was in our garage for years, and Donna finally contacted the Academy Award Museum in Los Angeles. And they said, yeah, we want it. Oh. So it went from our garage in Shreveport, this teal waitress outfit, it went from our garage out to the Academy Award Museum in Los Angeles. So anyway, that's a whole nother interview, but she was here. And
I'd love to have her on. I was always going to tell you to bring her on today to also talk about Greece, but I did not know a lot of her background.
You got to get her on here. She had a really fascinating career.
I love to do that.
Donna Chance Hall. She's on Internet Movie Database if anybody wants to look up her film career. And a lot of that, almost all of it, was in Louisiana.
Oh, really cool. So going back to promoting Music Museum in the area, I mean, it was been years ago. You had an article, by the way. I remember, if you remember that feature article in the Best of Times, you did a full cover and insert, and that started the impetus about you making presentations to various groups in the area about the history of music in Northwest Louisiana. It was fascinating. I mean, I saw you give it at two different performances in two locations, and we did a little snippet on the radio show here, but it was nothing compared to the hour and a half, and sometimes longer with the question and answer. So I everybody saw that, was like amazed, right? Mm-hmm. I know they were.
Well, so there's these things called aha moments,
mm-hmm.
and Shreveport Bossier's music history is full of the aha moments. Aha, I didn't know that. And I always advocate for, you know, I'm a storyteller, and I always advocate for a city to tell its story. And Shreveport especially, that's the idea behind a music museum, is if you pass through town and nobody tells you the story of Shreveport, you will kind of infer your own story. You'll look around and say, what's here? I don't know. You know, then you leave town. So it's our job. This is a job of every citizen to say, well, this is our story. A big component of that, which I pointed out, I've been harping about for years, was our water towers, right? They're rusty and kind of ugly looking. And so when somebody passes through town, they go, oh, Shreveport, that's, you know. So I was very excited a while back to see Mayor Arsenault announce this.
The painting.
And I will see people that say, well, let's fix the pipes first before we paint the towers. And I would say to that is, it's all the same. It's all the same. I mean, if you sprain your ankle, do you brush your teeth? Like, of course you do, right? Like, we don't stop doing one to do the other. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. So, hey, while we're painting them, let's work on the infrastructure. But I did submit for the water tower a design. Didn't get picked. That's okay. But these are the little things that when you say, what's our story? The city itself is a billboard. The water towers are a billboard. So the music museum is just kind of this perpetuating of that notion, is we have a story to tell. Let's tell it. And, you know, when they go through a museum, they should view the city differently after they leave.
That's right. And again, I even think local citizens, when I've heard people that you gave it to, that there was the aha moment. Aha. You said, I didn't know that. You know, I didn't.
Oh, there's hundreds of them. You know, like Elvis has left the building. You know, people don't know that phrase was born in Shreveport, or some do. But that's one. You know, did you know that? Did you know that this phrase that is so common in the American lexicon was born right here in Shreveport? I didn't know that. Then you tell the story behind it, about Elvis and his last performance at the Hirsch Coliseum in December of 1956. And it's the stuff of could be an HBO series or something. It's just really riveting stories. And so we have hundreds of those. So the idea about a music museum is they're going to walk in thinking one thing about Shreveport. They're going to spend a half day or whatever walking through all these stories. They're going to leave and have a fundamentally different idea of what the city of Shreveport is on the backside of that.
Again, I commend you on this, and I hope you can do anything I can to help promote it. And we can hope and get the city officials, including Mayor Arsenault and others, to you know, it's right. We need to have a purpose. And
yes.
We really, that's a great theme. I think, again, tourism are going to come here for that.
Yes.
I mean, they may come for our events, you know, the State Fair, Red River Revel, Mud Madness, et cetera, but, you know, they're not going to remember Shreveport for those events, you
right.
think?
Oh. I think, you know, that I think it was the great prophet Oprah that said people will remember the way you made them feel. And I think that's kind of the idea behind the visit to Shreveport is like they go to Mudbug Madness, they'll have a great time.
Yeah.
And they'll remember that. And if they go to a music museum and learn. And by the way, some of these aha moments are really, really powerful. Like Sam Cooke's experience when he was in Shreveport that inspired the song A Change Is Gonna Come. I've gotten goosebumps while telling the story. those moments will all be covered in a music museum, and people remember that how you made them feel. And so that helps tell the story of Shreveport. Now some of these stories aren't they're not the best stories, but you still have to tell them. They're part of the story. And, you know, that's been my experience when I've gone to museums and other towns is I know the town better. I get to know the town or the community or whatever it is. Down in Lafayette, Louisiana, they have the Acadian, I forget the name of it, but it's basically a cultural center that talks about the struggle of the Acadians that came down from Canada. And I spent an afternoon there and saw that whole city in a different light. So that's why it's so important. And by the way, a lot of momentum behind this now. I've been talking about it for 10 years, and everybody kind of understands it's really time. Like, it's time to do this. And the question is how. but that's a whole other ballgame. But I think it's becoming part of the consciousness of the city. Like, we have to tell the story.
Well, I'm sure our state officials as well as our local officials and others, I'm sure there's possibility of, you know, promotional educational grants that can do this.
It's endless.
I know other cities have it. Some have great ones, other have mediocre ones. But, yes, I've been to the one in Lafayette. I was very impressed with that.
Oh, yeah.
I knew some of that history, but not a lot of it.
Uh-huh.
They did an excellent job, excellent job.
Well, I'll add this real quick, is that knowing the history, why do we teach history? You teach history because everything around you, including you yourself, is a result of that history. My own niece, I think it's her great grandparents spoke French Cajun. That was part of their family story. And so history is very personal. It's very personal. And that's why the music history here, you can't find a person alive now that experienced the hayride that didn't know about it or go to it or spend a Saturday there. And it's always, oh, my papa did this, and my grandma knew that. I mean, it's very much, very, very personal. It's not separated from us. It is us. And so that's why when you bring these stories to light, they carry a lot of weight.
They do.
Yeah.
Well, hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information. But now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears, Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Joining me on my show today is a special guest, is Mr. Winston Hall, an award-winning musician, historian, world traveler, and author of the book, Ron Note Wright, The Story of an Accidental Piano Man. And recently, he's now a radio show host on Red River Radio about music and musicians in Northwest Louisiana, titled Louisiana Haywire. So
yes.
Thank you, Winston, today. Let's talk a little bit about your new venture.
Yes. Yeah, so this was actually the brainchild of Bene Summers and then my good friend and musician, Dan Gardner.
No, Dan, real well.
We'd kind of been kicking around the idea of just starting a program where we discuss the music history. And when I say discuss the history, I mean really kind of dig into it. A lot of the opportunities we get to talk about music history, they're kind of, you kind of have to rush through it. You know, it's kind of like real quick. So we said, let's have about a long form program where we can seek out the stories and the people that are worth really digging into. So we came up with the idea called Louisiana Hay Wire. It's of course a play off of Louisiana Hay Ride. And Louisiana Hay Wire, we partnered with Red River Radio, very graciously has agreed to air the program. Visit Shreveport-Bossier has also come on board as a partner. And my buddy Clint McCommon at Fairfield Studios is filming them and recording them. So it kind of snowballed really quick. Okay. We filmed the first round of guests. And our first guest was Estelle Brown, who was a backup singer for Elvis Presley. And interestingly, she lives in Shreveport, but she didn't work with Elvis while he was in Shreveport. She partnered with him later. Hmm. The Sweet Inspirations were the backup singers for Elvis in Las Vegas, his Las Vegas residency. And she came and did an interview with us and told us so many wonderful stories. And we, you know, that our idea was to kind of find these stories that need to be told that may not have been told yet. And boy, right off the bat, she gave us a really great interview. And I was very gracious with her time. And that was,
how do we know about her? How did y'all know?
She was just kind of on the radar, you know, Shreveport on the music scene. You hear somebody at some point say, did you know one of Elvis's backup singers is in Shreveport? Really?
Really?
And she was with him and her group right up till he died. They were still singing with him when Elvis died. And she still very much loves to tell the story. And by the way, her career unto itself was a really amazing career. They were with Atlantic Records in New York. And she, you know, the aha moments?
Mm-hmm.
We had her sitting right in front of us. And I said, well, who else did you sing for? And she said, well, we sang for a lot of people that came to the studio, you know. Van Morrison, right? Brown Eyed Girl?
Mm-hmm.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la?
Yeah.
That was her and the Sweet Inspirations.
Whoa.
And I said, nobody in Shreveport knows that. The background, the sha-la-la-la-la-la-la, that was Estelle Brown and her bandmates, and she lives in Shreveport. So anyway, a lot of amazing history with her. She was friends with, she babysat Whitney Houston. When Whitney Houston was a tiny baby, she changed Whitney Houston's diapers. So anyway, that was just one episode. So we did a series of interviews with Robin Vosbury was one, Alton Warwick, Chris Brown, Robert Trudeau was one of our episodes. And so we finished the first, we'll call it a season, the first six, and we're geared up to do, I believe, six more episodes later in June. And this time around, we're going to film on the stage of the Municipal Auditorium.
Oh, cool.
ASM Global has been very gracious in letting us use that stage. And this is really cool the way we do it. The venue, the room, is the backdrop. So we don't film on the stage as you normally would. We're going to film the interviews with the room in the background.
Okay.
Which if you've ever seen that view, really, really incredible view of that room. And a lot of people don't get to see it. That's why when we do tours, we like to take people on the stage. Anyway, that's where we're going to film the next few episodes of our show. So it's available. We have it on YouTube under Louisiana Haywire. And also, it's archived on redriverradio.org. People want to hear those previous episodes. And I believe it's in the process of going up on Spotify. So it's a podcast / radio show / television show.
Yeah,
so a lot of moving parts. But I encourage people, part of my mission with the music history is the education. And I think this really delves into that.
Well, these are longer segments, as you
longer
said.
Segments.
I think they're an hour, right? Almost 45 minutes or something.
Yes,
like that.
They're about an hour. Some of the show is supplemented with actual clips of the music.
Okay.
So that's really, I think, the best place to listen to it. Because every time we reference something in an interview, there's a clip of that that you can listen, you know, the actual song that we're talking about. So it's been the feedback's been really good so far. There's a need for this, and it goes back to education, and it goes back to telling the story, and we're really working hard to find these hidden gems. There's a couple of people we got coming up that I don't want to spill the beans yet, but really, we have Shreveport musicians that have performed at the White House, and just a lot of really cool stories that I can't wait to tell. So they're not all confirmed yet, so I don't want to spill the beans. But the next round will be as equally interesting, I hope. So we hope as long as we can dig up these stories, we'll keep doing episodes.
Well, and they need to contact you if they got particular stories.
You can contact me or Dan Garner. I don't want to say the wrong email, but I believe it's LouisianaHaywire@gmail.com.
Okay.
I hope that's the right one. That's Dan Garner.
I'm sure there are listeners out there all over that might have some stories that you've never heard of.
Yes, but we're all over Facebook and social media, and people do come forward with stories. There's some amazing stories, and some people may not think their stories are that interesting, but you leave that up to us to decide because, you know, I met a guy one time who didn't think he had any good Hank Williams stories and then admitted to me later that he was at a party on the New Year's Eve when Hank Williams died, and he was with Hank Williams' wife. I mean, she was at the party. Wow. And he didn't think that was that big a story. I was like, well, that's probably worth sharing. That.
Well, I hope you can also investigate it. I was very small, but Van Cliburn, the musician from my area. A lot of people don't know about all his accolades, I was fortunate to meet him
Et
cetera. That was many years ago, but it was fascinating.
One of the main selling points of the music history here is its diversity. I mean, it covers everything from blues to the birth of rock and roll, rockabilly, classical piano.
Right.
I mean, like really important classical piano that changed the face of the Cold War.
It did.
Can you imagine? Shreveport, right? Come on.
It did. Well, again, I compliment you on that, and I'm fascinated. It's a great show, everyone. It's on, and of course, you can view the podcast now, correct?
Yeah. So the YouTube, you can see it, and then see it and listen to it. And then RedRiverRadio.org is a great place to listen to it.
Well, that's super. Okay, before we end, we touched off on the beginning that you and Donna took a remarkable visit to the country of Greece. Spent a lot of days there.
We were there 13 days. It's been on our list for a long, long time.
You spent a few days in Athens before you got on the cruise ship, right?
Yes. So I have to say, my wife, Donna, loves to plan. She's a planner, and I'm not. So she did a pretty incredible job of planning
all the logistics and all the places to see, what and where.
Huh? Well, I'm the guy that just kind of wanders around looking for stuff, but she was real pointed about making a schedule and making sure we see all these things because we might never be back.
Well, that's the important thing. You got to have a schedule. You got to determine what you want to see, and I mean, you can review a lot of reviews. So what was the aha moment going to Greece that you?
Man, I'll tell your listeners, this is very important. I don't know how much time we have, but I'll say it quickly. You hear your whole life, you hear Bible stories, right? You hear Bible stories. And these stories are in a far, far away distant land. It might as well be the moon, right? You're like, I don't know where that is. And we toured the Parthenon, the Acropolis, which is like the big kahuna. That's like the main one, you know. And we were at the bottom of that, and the tour guide said, oh, by the way, this is Mars Hill. This is where Paul preached to the Athenians. As an almost afterthought.
Oh, yes.
And I think over there, anything since Jesus walked the earth is recent history to Greeks, you know. But for me, I said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Paul preached on, you can stand right there.
Yeah.
I mean, purely on a historical basis, that's, you know, humbling and amazing. But as somebody who grew up in the church, they said, oh, yeah, no, this is where Paul was. He was right here.
Right here.
So this is my encouragement is, you know, to go to the Holy Land, there's a lot going on over there. In fact, our cruise ship, this is a true story. The last stop on our cruise, or one of the last stops east, was in Cyprus. And on the way there, the cruise ship's GPS got jammed because of all the war in Gaza, all the stuff going on over there. The GPS was jammed. So our captain had to use old-fashioned navigation to get where we were going. And I thought, that's how close we are to the Holy Land. That's we were there. But if you don't want to deal with the geopolitics, that going to Cyprus and Rhodes and Athens is a neat way to see some of those stories from the Bible without being in the middle of all the chaos.
That is true. We visited a lot of churches, Orthodox churches.
Oh, yeah, Catholic a ton of churches. Beautiful churches. And, you know, they kind of you get, I don't know what the word, like beauty fatigue or church fatigue. Like you really want to take the time to see these beautiful churches. But this actually happened in Athens. We toured this stunningly beautiful church, walked two more blocks, there was another one. So it was kind of like we really have to take the time to appreciate this beauty. But that's why when people go, you should definitely remind yourself how much history, every 10 feet.
That's right.
There's history. And so that for me was, you know, Rhodes, Cyprus, all that. We got to visit towns that were in the Bible, but at the same time, urban, new, nice, safe. Everybody spoke English. Really just a trip of a lifetime.
And you do know a few Greek words, right? Kalimera, good morning.
Kalimera,
right?
Which is not to be confused with calamari, which is that's the seafood dish.
Richard, you're hilarious. Again, thank you for joining us on the show today. Gave a lot of great information, and let's hope your dream of a museum in the Shreveport and Bossier area for music will be a reality.
Going to happen.
Soon.
Going to happen.
Soon. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Don't forget to pick up your personal copy of The Best of Times at one of our distribution locations. May God bless you and your family. God bless America. Have a great day and a great weekend. Thank you again for listening to our show. I'm Gary Kaligas, wishing you and yours the best of times, both today and every day. Have a great day.